Bush and Richie here with your Daily Takeaway podcast. I just want to send up a flag and a warning straight away that this is right at the very start of the school holidays and I'm already exhausted. Yeah. How many days? I mean, I know we've had the weekend. So technically, we've had like 2 days of holiday so far.
Yeah.
And the house is an absolute state. The kids have run us ragged. I bought a map, a little ordnance survey map.
Why? What are you planning on doing for 6 weeks?
Well, I've been learning about the Border Reavers, okay, in Northumberland. Long story, but right. they used to go and raid each other's like farms back in the 1600s. So I thought, well, next time I go up north, I'll use this ordnance survey map because it's got all the castles on it, and I'll go and have a look around. Opened it last night with a cup of tea to have a proper look through it, and my 18-month-old scribbled all over it with a green felt-tip pen. That's just like this is at the very beginning of the holidays. How are you faring?
I've had my backside pummeled this morning for about half an hour by a Nerf gun.
Oh yeah, he's got a Nerf gun.
He's got about three.
You see, you're weaponising him. That's quite tough at the start of the holiday.
I actually did question the parenting job that I've done so far, where he turned to me. He's five. He goes, "Daddy, can we play snipers?" Oh, okay, yeah, let's do that.
So, if like us, you're struggling a little bit right at the start of the school holidays, we're always a shoulder to cry on. Get in touch now. Tell us your stories. Maybe you've bought a weapon that's going to bite you in the backside down the line. Home time at Absolute Radio. .co.uk.
This is Bush and Rich's Daily Takeaway.
This morning, Dave Berry launched a brand new competition called One in 100. Basically, one number stands between you and £1,000. All you have to do is pick the right number. So ask yourself the questions. The great thing about this competition, if you had to pick a number between 1 and 100, what would it be? Have you got a lucky number? This morning, someone picked number 25, which was incorrect. So that's number 25 ruled out. And in fact, we are stood here doing this show with the actual safe from The Breakfast Show in the corner of the room, and the number's in there, which is an amazing thing. £1,000 up for grabs. But, you know, gets you thinking about numbers, which is cool, and we thought an interesting way to summarise what's going, you know, what's kind of gone on over your weekend. Your weekend in numbers, so to speak, since we're doing 1 in 100. So for me and my brother went to see Morrissey at Troxy in Limehouse in London on Saturday night. It was brilliant. And we worked out on the train home that's my 7th time I've seen Morrissey live, which makes him the most seen artist in my musical career.
You should have one of those little cards that you would get in a coffee shop where they stamp. And Morrissey at the door just stamping with a little M or something.
I think if anyone is definitely not going to give you a free gig at the end of that, it's Morrissey. 7 Morrisseys are singing. So my weekend in numbers would be 7 Morrissey gigs. Have you got like a number that's pervasive over the weekend for you?
3.
3?
Yeah, 3 sports that I was watching over the weekend. I had a very inactive weekend glued to the Test match, the cricket.
Yeah.
The Open, the golf, and the World Match Play darts. Actually, a bit of a stretch.
You know how to pick them, don't you?
Third sport. And I barely did anything.
That sounds like a perfect weekend.
It was a great weekend, apart from the rain, but that doesn't affect darts.
It's a cricket-related issue, I believe, the rain on the weekend. I'm learning about cricket. Mark says, 1,565 days. My club, Durham City Football Club, won back-to-back games and kept a clean sheet on Saturday for the first time since way back in 2019. This just 10 days after ending a 434-day winless run. It's putting Everton into perspective, that's for sure.
I don't want to rain on his parade, but I don't think statistically a pre-season friendly is going to count in official records.
Don't crush the poor man.
I'm just saying.
Starved of success.
Alex, his number, it's a big one, 19,698 steps walked around Whipsnade Zoo.
Great zoo. All of them
done with bad sciatica, but an 11-year-old that really wanted to go.
That is dedication for you. And Vicky Lewis has 2 takeaways eaten on consecutive days. But also over the weekend, I made 4 omelettes.
Oh.
That's a lot of omelettes in one weekend.
Is that all for you, or are you catering for others?
2 for me, 2 for my teenager.
Wow.
She's well into her omelettes at the moment, so am I. 4 omelettes. Martin says, 2 grey herons on his balcony this morning. Is that an omen?
Check that one out. Chad's in Catterick says 391, that's the number of miles travelled yesterday to see the Red Hot Chili Peppers in Glasgow. Got home at 2:30 a.m. today.
Wow.
Up at work at 5:30 a.m. Still at work.
Well, our producer Adam, aka 10 Weeks of Tickets, went to that gig and he said it was fantastic. Algie says 4 stickers added to drawers because 2 teenagers need instructions. He sent a photo of his kitchen drawers and he stuck on there one saying Tupperware, one saying baking cake tins, and the other says other.
So much more I'd love to know about this. Five, all right? A small number, but so many stories behind it. Five, this text says, is the number of hotel rooms we had to change before we found one that was clean.
Wow, someone's furious from the weekend, aren't they? Furious. Jane says, hello, I did another 1,000 words of my master's degree dissertation, only 4,000 to go.
Oh, dissertation, what a word. Matthew in Northumberland, 500, his number. That was the amount he had to spend in a hardware store after his shower leaked.
Oh, dear, oh, dear, it's the worst. It's the worst of household annoyances, that, isn't it? We've got Joe on the line. Joe, what number sums up your weekend then?
It's 11.
11. Please tell us the story behind the number 11 this weekend for you.
Because there was 11 of us in a hen party in a hot tub.
Wow.
11 hens in a hot tub.
It's a really bad 12 days of Christmas, isn't it?
That actually sounds all right.
Joe, your standard hot tub, that's quite some going to get 11 of you in. Was it a giant one or was it a squeeze?
It was a bit of a squeeze. But we did it. We got the first house to prove it.
Oh, Brett, and were you in one of those hot tubs or in, like, the countryside and you're looking out in a field?
Yes, farmer's field. The farmer kept going past on a tractor.
I bet he did.
And were you having a drink in there as well? A little little tipple?
A little bit of a drink, yeah.
How many Proseccos?
There was at least 12 bottles went through.
Wow. Yes, it reminds me of that programme, I don't know if it's on anymore, but MTV's Cribs, where, you know, you get looked around a glamorous house of, like, P. Diddy or something like that.
Yeah.
It's got vibes of an Airbnb as well.
Airbnb?
Oh, no, it was posher than an Airbnb.
Oh, was it indeed?
Tell us the most scandalous thing then that happened. You know, 11 hens, hot tub, farmer's field, Airbnb.
The farmer had a full Eiffel.
My word. No wonder he kept on going by.
Wow.
He did, yeah. And he took the bride to be for a ride in the tractor.
Okay, we're going to leave that there. What goes on in the farm stays on the farm.
Yeah. It does, definitely.
Andy in Banstead says, 10 proms watched in all at the Royal Albert Hall. My 10th one on Saturday. Horrible Histories does horrible opera.
Oh, I like that.
Sounds good, doesn't it?
Three, the number of times we got evacuated from two different hotels in the Lake District this weekend, says that text.
I feel overall tonight and looking at the weekend, some people have had some bad luck with hotels.
A lot of dramatic things going on.
We've got Sarah on the line. Sarah, summarise your weekend in a number, please.
So when the kids finish school on Friday, we decided it would be a good idea to take them to a dessert bar for a little treat.
Can I be ignorant here? What is a dessert bar?
I've never been to a dessert bar.
No, what is that a thing?
Sarah, take it away.
Like waffles and pancakes and ice cream sundaes and stuff.
Does the one that you go to, does it do like a baked cookie dough?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. So good.
I'm unaware of these places. This is kind of crazy.
Mate, I'll take you to one and treat you.
That'll be lovely.
How many did you take, Sarah, then? I trust that's your number.
There was 8 kids altogether.
Wow, so if they're all eating this stuff straight out of Willy Wonka, right, what's the behaviour like at the end of that?
Well, we thought it'd be a good idea to go to the park after to try and get the sugar rush out.
Wow. What was the main thing they ate? Richie's describing this unbelievable collection of stuff they've got at the dessert bar.
So a few of them had a unicorn sundae.
Wow.
Which was like bubblegum, ice cream and sherbet and candy floss and Smarties and all sorts.
And how long were you in the park? 7 hours?
Yeah, pretty much. My 4-year-old actually ate the most out of all the kids there.
Good on him, Augustus Gloop. You do sound a little bit traumatised by the whole thing.
I am a little bit. I won't be going back anytime soon.
The Daily Takeaway. Bush and Richie's Daily Takeaway.
Plenty of films coming out for the holidays as well. Big opening weekend for Oppenheimer. Even bigger opening weekend for the Barbie movie. It's all the rage now, isn't it? Toy movies. You think back a few years, obviously, Lego Movie was massive.
Yeah.
All sorts of Lego Movie spin-offs from that. I remember a few years back, we had Daniel Radcliffe in here for a Playmobil movie. Now, obviously, you've got Barbie the movie. Where's it all going to stop? What's the next toy movie? Been thinking about it. Toys from our youth. I reckon there'd be a fantastic movie in Screwball Scramble. Did you ever play Screwball Scramble?
I don't know if I'm aware of Screwball Scramble.
I think you'd recognise it. You might not get it by name, but it was basically a little handheld plastic. It's not even a console because it wasn't a plugged-in kind of thing. Metal ball bearing,
yes.
Rickety bridge, little tunnel, a maze that was covered, then a bell at the end.
It's like an assault course.
Assault course for a ball bearing. Oh, what wonderful times they were. But if you were to turn that into a movie, a story behind it, the ball bearing is actually, I don't know, some kind of creature, and it's I don't work in movies, but
clearly
there's a movie in it, you would think.
It reminds me a little bit of do you remember the game, inexplicable game from the 80s called Mousetrap?
Yes.
Where it was just, I don't know what that was about. It was like, there was like a net and, yeah. and a diver and a plastic bucket.
But suddenly you animate that mouse and give it a name, there's a movie.
There's quids in Disney Pixar, isn't it?
Think about it. I bet a cherished toy of your youth, think about it, there's a movie in it.
One of my favourite toys from back in the day that never gets any love, and I'd love to see it made into a film, was Muscle Men.
I remember them.
Do you remember Muscle Men? Yeah. Little pink plastic fellas, like little wrestlers, and you buy them in like a bucket. You get buckets of them. Yeah. And we used to play this game at my granddad's house in Weston-super-Mare because it was dead boring when we used to go there as kids. No offence, Grandad. But we'd set our own muscle men up at each end of the hallway,
yeah.
roll a marble down and see who can knock each other's muscle men over.
Oh, it could be a combined movie. Screwball Scramble, the ball bearing from that versus your muscle men.
It's all coming together, isn't it? It's all coming together.
Have a think about it. The next big toy movie, is there one? Weebles Wobble, the movie, is being suggested.
Freak me out, man. Weebles. So the thing that freaks me out about Weebles...
Go on.
...is that they didn't have eyes. They just had holes where their eye socket should be.
Well, there's the story, you see. You see through straight into their souls. Probably actually a horror movie.
That sounds terrifying. Madeline says, what about a movie based on the board game Operation? Like, why was that guy having, weird things removed from him? Do you know what I mean?
Open surgery as well.
He was having strange items removed from him. Yeah. And I think if you work with anyone that has, spent any time in a hospital, that's always stories that get shared. Do you know what I mean? What's his backstory?
Paul would like to put forward Monopoly, which is a stretch for a toy, but he's got taglines for it, just when you thought it was safe to go back to the waterworks.
Oh, I see what he's done there,
It's quite good.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Euston Road, we have a problem.
These are quite poor, actually. I don't know.
The name's Bond Street.
Why am I having to react to these? it's his problem.
They're not even my idea. Paul, it's on you. How about Pop-Up Pirate the movie? Pop-Up Pirate and Barrel of Destiny, says John on the M4, as we look for the next big child toy-inspired
movie.
What's
his story? What's the pirate's story? Why is he hiding in that barrel? That's what I'd love to find out.
Yeah, and is the rest of the movie, are the players the law force, and it's some kind of savage punishment on this smuggling pirate?
That is... an interesting insight there, Richie. I like that. Also, that one with the do you remember that toy where you used to push plasticine up that bloke's backside and it came out the top of his head? His hair.
That's just it's a Play-Doh thing, isn't it? I think
it's just like that. That is a film. Chris from Northampton, trying to avoid the M6 at the moment. He says, I remember my favourite cartoon show from the 80s was called Mask. The toys were vehicles that transformed, and each vehicle had a driver who wore, wait for it, a mask. That would be a great live action movie. Mask was a great cartoon.
Very, very good. Very good. Amy, what's your suggestion?
Well, I was thinking about the game Hungry Hungry Hippos. I used to love it, and I've got this mental image of a herd of hippos rampaging through the town, eating everything in sight.
Brilliant. So the little balls that you would then get with your hippo, that's just like food and stuff knocking around, yeah?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, it could be people, depending on what angle you're wanting to go with and what kind of movie you're heading for, but that's pretty much what I had in mind.
So you're talking they're running through, it's a stampede through a town, because if you think about the actual game, the Hungry Hippos Arena, it's really almost sort of like a square, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm thinking Oxford Circus here in London.
You could do Oxford Circus, you could go with Times Square, the opportunities, there's endless where you could take this.
Do you know, though, it'd be a good way of putting out there the truth behind hippos, because everyone always thinks they're fun and playful and they get little birds clean their teeth and everything, but they're awful, aren't they? They kill more people than sharks and tigers
and
stuff.
They do, they're the biggest killer in the world.
South Africa, Africa, and hippos you got to watch out for.
Exactly. Well, let's put it right with like a warts and all hippos documentary.
Colette is in Basildon, says, my immediate thought was the random one that my sister and I had called a snuggle bum. You pressed its back and its tummy lit up. Not sure how you're turning that into a movie.
Imagine that, Snuggle Bum the movie. Two tickets for Snuggle Bum, please. Andy on his way into work with the London Fire Brigade says a great movie would be, and he's going off on a bit on here, but he goes, Borrowers crossed with the Hornby train set.
Right.
Where the borrowers live on the train, which slowly gets bigger and bigger, opening up new areas to explore.
It's a franchise.
It is a franchise. And, you know, I guess it's every film's different. Maybe they've made their way into the kitchen.
Jack, next suggestion, please.
So what I was thinking is the old toy, Stretch Armstrong.
Mm-hmm.
Because obviously, A, he's really strong and really stretchy. So it'd be like the Hulk crossed with Mr. Fantastic out of Fantastic Four.
I'm going to be honest with you. I can't remember Stretch Armstrong. I don't think he was a toy when I was a kid.
Come on.
But what was he?
Stretch Armstrong was like late 80s, early 90s.
Really?
Mid-90s, something like that. Yeah, and it was like, I don't even know what material was inside him. It was just really stretchy, rubbery, like flour. Because you just try and stretch it to your point where you could try and break it.
But how do you play with that as a kid? What are you doing? Just stretching him? Like, what is that?
Stretching him. Just stretching him.
Yeah.
What you did. Yeah, just stretching him.
Just stretching him, making him into like a sausage.
Look, he was successful.
Well, yeah.
He was massive. Absolutely. I think everyone pretty much, we had a... I mean, bring a toy to school one day, and there was at least a dozen of us that brought in the Stretch Armstrong.
Well, I'm paying 15 quid to go to the Stretch Armstrong movie. What am I watching?
Well, I would say, look, Jack, you've put it forward, but I'd suggest some kind of big world landmark as some travel. Golden Gate Bridge.
Golden Gate Bridge,
it's suddenly one of the things gone twang or something or other.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's falling down, and you've got, like, you know, cars and lorries falling into the... What's the river that goes underneath? Doesn't matter anyway.
That one.
And Stretch Armstrong suddenly is holding the bridge up.
What do you think about that, Jack?
You need someone stretchy and someone strong, so who else would you call?
Hey, do you want to be good for him as well? He could do that thing where he's got his foot by the bar, but he can actually have a cigarette out the other end.
Yes.
Without breaking any rules about having a smoke, do you know what I mean?
Whilst holding the bridge up.
Whilst holding the bridge up as well.
He could do everything.
sounds like a winner.
The opportunity is absolutely endless, yeah.
15 quid for your ticket, are you coming?
Now, do you know what? I'll probably give it a miss, I'll be honest with you.
This is the Daily Takeaway.
Now, I'm sure when you listen to this show 5 days a week, you listen, you hear these two gentlemen, you think, wow, they really are commanders of the English language, such wordsmiths. They know so much. Well, do you know what? Even we have identified that there are things in the English language that there isn't even a word for. Which is why we're starting to try and find new words for situations in life that don't yet have a word. We're calling it Find a Word For.
So we are kind of like linguistic Darwins, categorising previously unseen words. This week's previously uncharted words is... You know that feeling of sitting down after someone else and the seat is still really warm?
Yeah.
Might be a stranger on a train, they've got up, you get in their seat, and then you can still feel the warmth of their backside.
Train, bus...
Anywhere. It could even be a family or friend if you jump into their seat when they go make a round of teas. But there's no word out there at the moment for that sensation.
Yeah.
So we want to find a word for it.
And it's a horrible sensation, I would say.
Quite unsettling. It's fine, I guess, if it's like someone that you know or someone that you love.
Yeah.
But if it's like a, you know, 52-year-old banker that you've never met before at like at the King's Cross St Pancras, it's a different deal, isn't it? Do you know what I mean?
I've got a word that I might put forward as a suggestion to kick us off.
I don't think it's in the dictionary.
It's not necessarily going to be the one that goes in, I don't know, but it's a start. Passas.
Passas.
All right, OK. Taken from passenger, the previous person.
Yeah, yeah.
And ass.
Ass.
See what I've done there? They're
and it's kind of undercurrent of passive.
Exactly.
Because it's like, yeah. It's not something they've tried to do. Their bum has just warmed things up.
Exactly. So to use it in a sentence, you might say, oh, I sat on the seat on the bus and it had some horrible passas.
A nightmare passas on the way back
on
the train.
Yeah.
Colette says, linger warmth.
Oh, that's good.
That's pretty good as well, isn't
it? Yeah, it's not bad at all.
So, find a word for that feeling of sitting down after someone else and the seat is still unusually hot. We'd love to hear from you tonight on Home Time.
Donna Jones going with seatisfying. It's not bad, but it's more of a nod to the fact that it's a nice feeling.
She seems to like it.
Yeah,
I was going to say, my idea would be, say, I'm still working on this, bum ghost. Because it is kind of like the spirit of the person that sat before you. Do you know what I mean? It's kind
yes,
of
yes, it is.
Lingers on. Katie Allen says gusset warmer. Which is pretty good.
very good.
These are very strong. Like I say, the whole reason we're doing this is that genuinely, you look it up. There's no word in the English language for that sensation.
Doesn't exist.
Just on that, right? It seems to me that some people leave residue, like leave a hot seat.
Yep.
Some people don't. I feel like I don't leave a hot seat. Whereas our producer, Aden, I reckon he leaves a hot seat when he gets up.
I'll hold my hand up. I'm pretty certain I leave a hot seat.
You leave a hot seat.
There's
it's
a lot of mass here.
Is it like a genetic thing? Who knows? Someone has emailed in, hometime@absoluteradio.co.uk. Craig in Plymouth says, hope you and Richie are doing well. Thank you very much. He says, starts the email. He says, how about thermemory for that warm feeling of a second-hand seat? I sat down and got someone else's thermal memory or thermemory.
It's very good. It's very good.
It's not bad, is it?
Bodians. Sounds posh. It's quite nice. From Nigel in Millbrook.
Sounds like pulled pork or something, doesn't it?
Yeah, or I'm wearing Bodians.
Yeah, got a bit of Bodians.
It's actually made from body and radiance.
We've got Jill on the line. Jill, help us find a word for it.
Yes, I'm a new listener and you two are so cool. It's not even normal.
Oh, wow. Thank you so much. You're a brand new listener to the Home Time Show.
Yes, I don't often listen because I'm not always at work. I normally finish at 1.
Right.
But I've been doing overtime, so I've tuned into you guys and you do make me giggle.
Well, that's very, very kind, Jill. We hear you're one of our new highbrow listeners that's got a word for this sensation of the warm seat. What have you come up with, Jill?
Squam.
Squam.
We miss warm.
Squeamish. So, again, the big debate with this is whether it's a nice feeling or an unpleasant feeling. Squeamish would suggest you think it's an unpleasant feeling.
Not happy if I don't know them.
Okay, fair enough.
Yes, squam is great. That's really good.
Sat down on the tube and it was a bit of a squam from the person that left before.
There you go, yeah.
This seat is a little bit squammy.
See, it just rolls off the tongue.
Well, listen, we are over the moon that you're a brand new listener to the Home Time Show and sending you lots of love.
Well, thank you so much for making me smile on my way home.
Have you got a squammy seat?
No, I've got my own warm seat.
She's happy with that. Good to speak to you. Take care.
Thank you so much, guys. Bye.
This is Bush and Rich's Daily Takeaway.
Just back onto summer holidays as we close this episode of the Takeaway. Can I also ask a question? Being that, like, today really was like first proper day of the 6 weeks. At what time did you cave this morning and hand out the first snack?
Oh, this is we're having a big thing at the moment in our house about over snacking, too much snacks, that kind of thing.
I send my sympathies.
Yeah, so I think I gave our 4-year-old nachos at about 9:30, 9:45.
And 9:45 is exactly when I dished out snacks.
Well, is it, they get up at 7:30, 7 o'clock or whatever,
yep.
And they've had their breakfast, so they're rattling you for food again by 9:45, 10 o'clock. It's mad.
Oh.